Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, it is indeed a blessed privilege to visit with you, trusting that you are going to be faithful in reading the Word of God, meditating upon it, hiding it in your heart, studying it, and declaring the Word to this lost world. The Word of God is that which God Himself has given to us and has revealed through His Word what He is like. And that's the only way we know what the Lord is like, is through the Bible, the Holy Word of the living God. Today we want to briefly look at the book of Philippians. It is again a very one of the short epistles, and some have termed the book of Philippians as the Psalms of the New Testament, as the Psalms of the Old Testament are very practical and personable, very warm in dealing with the personal situations we encounter, then the book of Philippians is very much like that. It is a book that is written when Paul was one of the prison epistles, and he has seen much suffering, and the church at Philippi was a darling church. These were very concerned one for another. However, there is one area where there are two women in the church who didn't get along in the midst of all of the other situations. The book is characterized by very tender moments of praise and rejoicing and thanksgiving to the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter on his second missionary journey. The church was founded on Paul's second missionary journey. And that was a place, you remember, where Paul was put in prison. And instead of sitting in the prison saying, "But Lord, I'm here doing your work, and you're letting these people mistreat me." No, he was found in the prison at midnight, singing and praising and preaching the Word of God. And that's when the earthquake occurred. He had been put in prison because he was preaching such a message and seeing people delivered from the bondage of sin. And this young woman was delivered of the bondage of sin, and Paul gives to us an answer there with the Philippian jailer. "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He didn't say, "Be baptized, join the church, do good works, keep the law." "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that brings the sweetness of the salvation that the Lord provides. And then you find others who will take off and add to that their own church rules and laws. But that's not what the Bible says for salvation. Paul preached that. And while he was there also, there was a woman by the name of Lydia. She was a seller of purple, and she was won to the Lord, and her house was won as well. They were brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a good example for us to follow. We have loved ones who are in bondage to sin. You go into a house and you see the family there in bondage. Give the gospel. "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So you can see people brought from darkness to light, and you see them brought as one at a time. Everybody who enters into the family of God come one at a time. And this message is a very personal message, and the Lord assures us of his provisions for us. And the church, of course, is to follow these instructions that are given in the Word, and you will have that sweetness in your life and in your church, in your home, as you seek to follow the Lord as He has given to us these instructions. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we do ask for the blessings of the Lord upon today's message. We pray Thee to bless us now. I pray for liberty in proclaiming Thy truth. We pray that many might be delivered from the bondage of sin and brought from darkness unto light. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 47, now, Jacob has entered into the land of Egypt. He's met Pharaoh. He has blessed Pharaoh. Now it is time for his family, Jacob's family, Joseph's family, to get underway with their lives of living there now in Egypt, being cared for by Joseph. In verse 11 of Genesis 47, "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded." Again, I told you on the close of the last program, you can see now how this would breed hostility. These outsiders are coming into the land, and they are being given the very best. After all, we live here in the land, and we have some holdings in this land. We are very close to Pharaoh, and he is putting somebody else. You can see how there could be hostility early when Joseph brought his family down. And also, we talked about the hostility that existed between the two occupations, that of caring for cattle and as opposed to caring for sheep. "And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families." So they had enough. They were sufficiently fed. "And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house." So now, because of the way things are going, money to the people mean not as much as it did before. People would store their money, hoard their money in their own houses. Now they are saying, in order to live, we must part with our money. And in verse 15, "When the money failed," that's a sermon in itself. When the money fails, you know that you hold on to your money, you put it away, and you squirrel it away, and you say, "This is mine, this is mine." Yes, and something eats it away. The money fails. Money can't comfort you. Money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. Money can make you feel like you're in charge, but money can't comfort you and speak comfort and peace to your heart. Money can't buy you peace. If it can't buy you a night's rest. You can buy drugs that'll make you go to sleep, but that doesn't give you rest. Money can't do that. Verse 15, "The money failed in the land, and they were in the place where they thought they would be secure, but money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan. All the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, 'Give us bread.'" They wanted just enough food to keep from dying. "For the money faileth." See, again, verse 15 starts with that statement and ends with that statement. The money fails. And verse 16, "Joseph said, 'Well, give your cattle.'" You don't have any more money. You do have some possessions there. You have cattle. Give those. And that means a lot to you. But give that. "And I will give you for your cattle if money fail." So they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses. He didn't say, "Well, bring me your cattle and I'll give you money." No, they didn't want that. They would turn their cattle over and get bread, get food to live. Then not only did they turn their cattle in, Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herd and for their asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent." So the money had failed. Now that which they had gotten to sustain them has been exhausted, and they need some other way to continue on. "My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands." So we have our bodies and we have a place on which to rest our bodies. But we still do not have rest. We still do not have hope. So, verse 19, wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, or in exchange for bread, we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. So that's the next stage. The people will survive. Now, if he had reversed this order and had said, you become my servants, when they had all of their land and had all of their money, they wouldn't have listened to him. Are you kidding? You haven't seen our stock profits, our profit for the year. You haven't seen the land we own. But as what they had stored up whittled away with time and difficult times, they were willing to say, now we will be your servants. We will serve you. And so Joseph buys the land, and for the Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. They couldn't hold out as long as the Lord had the famine plan. And there are a lot of people who think that they have enough food stored up to outlast the storm that the Lord brings, or the famine the Lord brings. When the Lord wants you to look to him, well, he'll make sure that the storm lasts a day longer and the famine lasts a while longer than what you have in your supply. You store up 300 days worth of supplies, the Lord will let the storm last 301 days. Till you surrender. You can't outlast God. You need to recognize that God is sovereign. He's powerful. And you can't plan any strategy against him. Verse 21, and as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt over to the other. So now they are being brought to a place where they can be. They're under much control. They are limited. And what they can plan, all they can do now is just eat and serve the Pharaoh, whatever he tells them to do. This is going to be their ticket for living. Whatever the Pharaoh says to do, go work in my field, go work on my land. And verse 22, only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and he did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And so now there is a time when they are able to take from Pharaoh and go back with what he has given, put it to use, and to start sowing and providing for the land. As things are going to now become possible for them to survive on the land. And they were told that they would be taxed at a rate of 20%. They would have five parts, and one of the parts belonged to Pharaoh. They kept the other four, and the rest of it was to be given to Pharaoh. That was the way the Lord brought all of this land unto Pharaoh under Joseph's charge. They had no idea of what God's plan was, and we likewise do not have any idea of how God will take care of us, other than the fact that he will. Join us again for the program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless this message today. Strengthen thy people for Jesus' sake. Amen.